Welcome to the deep dive. You shared some really interesting material this time, a lemonade stand discussion,
it's
right?
It's good one.
And it jumps around quite a bit. We're talking a potential Trump gold card, then open source AI, and even Vienna's housing model. Quite a mix.
Definitely. Seemingly unrelated topics, but you know, there are threads connecting them about new challenges and maybe unconventional solutions.
Right. So for you, the learner, the goal here is to pull out the key stuff, the surprising bits, get you a good handle on these ideas without getting bogged down.
Exactly. A solid understanding, quick and focused.
Okay, let's get into it. This gold card idea first.
Mm-hmm.
The lemonade stand folks were breaking down this proposal. $5 million investment, basically, for U.S. permanent residency.
Yeah, and apparently linked to Trump. Maybe some people in Elon Musk's circle involved. It's definitely a headline grabber.
And the stated reason. Tackling the national debt.
That's the pitch. Hmm. Which, I mean, immediately makes you think about the numbers, right? They did a quick calculation.
Yeah, that was pretty stark. To make a dent, like $1 trillion.
Yeah.
You'd need to sell, what was it?
Around 200,000 of these cards. $5 million a pop.
200,000.
That's just
it's a massive number. You have to wonder, is there even that much global demand at that price point?
That's the question. And they pointed out, you know, this isn't entirely new. Lots of countries have investment schemes for residency or even citizenship.
Like Ireland. They mentioned Ireland, I think.
Right. Ireland's around $1 million, roughly, for citizenship. And Switzerland, closer to maybe 250K for residency permits. So $5 million for the U.S., it's way up there.
So the argument for it, I guess, is attracting wealthy people who'd then pay U.S. taxes.
That's the potential upside, yeah. Bringing in capital, expanding the tax base.
But the counterarguments they raised were, well, first, is that pool of people with $5 million liquid even big enough to impact the debt significantly?
Exactly. And second, would they really become residents paying taxes year after year, or is it more like an expensive backup plan, a safe haven?
Good point.
Yeah.
Plus, they mentioned, didn't they, that foreign investors can already buy assets here, influence things.
Yeah, absolutely can. So what's the unique benefit of this card beyond maybe the PR?
Ah, the branding, the Trump card.
Yeah, they highlighted that. It's definitely effective marketing, whatever you think of it.
It's memorable, for sure. But okay, think about the value. $5 million for a green card versus, well, the normal roads. One of the hosts mentioned their own experience. Took like 7 years.
Yeah, around 7 years to citizenship. So for someone with the money, maybe skipping that wait time, getting certainty, that could be worth the price.
Perhaps. It definitely highlights the contrast, though, with things like the existing visa lottery, which is pure chance, not money.
Absolutely. Different philosophies of immigration, really.
Okay, so from rich immigrants to deep sea mining. That was a sharp turn in the discussion.
It was, yeah. Sparked by concerns about China maybe blocking exports of rare earth metals.
Right. Trade tensions and all that. These metals are crucial for, well, lots of tech, right?
Hugely important, especially things like electric car batteries. China dominates the supply chain, so any restriction is a big deal globally.
And the connection was that Trump reportedly reacted by approving more deep sea mining.
That's what they discussed. And apparently this move gave a massive boost to a specific company, the metals company, TMC.
Yeah, TMC. Their stock shot up like over 100%.
Over 100%. Just shows how geopolitics and resource stuff can hit the market, you know?
Wild. They even mentioned there was a good pick in their own, like, fantasy stock game.
Huh, yeah. But the core idea is getting these metals, rare earths, from rock nodules on the seabed, a new source.
These rare earths.
Yeah.
Why are they so critical? It's not just batteries, is it?
Oh, no, far beyond. They have unique magnetic properties, conductive properties, essential for smartphones, wind turbines, defense tech, you name it. So China's dominance is a real strategic issue for others.
Gotcha. And it's not lawless down there. They mentioned some kind of UN office.
Yeah.
In the Bahamas.
Yeah, the International Seabed Authority. Based in Jamaica, actually, but administered under UN conventions. They regulate mining in international waters. An interesting layer of governance.
So companies like TMC need their approval.
Precisely. And of course, the big elephant in the room, which they only hinted at, is the environmental impact. Deep sea mining versus land mining.
Big debate
there.
Okay. Let's dive into the AI part. That was a pretty big chunk of the conversation.
It was. And they did a good job trying to clarify the terms. Open source, closed source, and this newer thing, open weight.
Right. Okay. So open source, like Linux or OBS for streaming, the code's just out there for anyone.
Exactly. Public code. Use it, change it, share it, community driven.
And closed source is the opposite. Like Fortnite. The company keeps the code secret.
Total proprietary. They control everything.
So where does OpenWeight fit in? This seems like the tricky one.
It is nuanced. With OpenWeight AI, the trained model, the finished product, after all the learning is released publicly, you can download it. But the data they use to train it and the specific code for the training process itself, that stays private.
Ah, okay. That analogy they used was helpful, like having a copy of Sabrina Carpenter.
Right. You can interact with the AI, the Sabrina copy, but you can't fundamentally change its personality or how it got that way because you don't have the training data or the recipe.
Makes sense. And most big names, ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, Grok, they've been closed source, right? That's their advantage, their moat.
Traditionally, yes. It protects their investment and gives them control.
But then alternatives started popping up. Open-weight models like Llama from Meta and Mistral from France.
Yeah, those offered powerful AI without being locked into, say, OpenAI's or Google's system.
So what's the real win for smaller companies using these? Is it just cheaper or does it let them do different things?
It's definitely cheaper, massively cheaper sometimes, because you're not paying per use to an API. You run it yourself. That lets smaller players experiment, maybe build more niche tools, or things focused on privacy since the data doesn't leave their systems. It lowers the barrier to entry.
Okay, and then came this. DeepSeek.
Yeah.
From China. OpenWeight, they said.
That's the one they flagged as a potential game changer. Because reportedly, its performance is up there with the big closed models, like ChatGPT.
But it's free to download and run.
Exactly. Free. Which, you know, completely disrupts the subscription models of the big player.
Yeah, that throws a huge wrench in the works. If you're building something on top of AI, like that character AI example.
Right, creating interactive characters.
You could just use DeepSeek instead of paying constantly for API access. That's a massive cost saving.
Potentially enormous. Which then makes you question the whole business model for the companies that spent billions training their closed models. How do they make that money back if powerful free alternatives keep appearing?
It's a tough question. And they noted that even OpenAI is now releasing some open-weight models.
Seems like it. Suggests they're feeling the pressure, needing to adapt.
It's a big shift. Though they did mention, running these models yourself isn't trivial, right? Need serious computing power.
Definitely. Serious GPUs. So while the model is free, the hardware isn't necessarily cheap for everyone. Still a barrier for some.
And the geopolitical angle. China releasing a model like DeepSeek, that's got to be seen as a strategic move, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Challenges the idea of U.S. dominance, potentially speeds up AI development elsewhere, and it makes you look at the concentration of AI investment in just a few big U.S. tech firms.
Yeah, and wonder about their long-term monetization plans. Mm-hmm. If the core tech becomes free, what's the sustainable business?
Good question. Maybe it pushes things towards more specialized AI.
How so?
Well, instead of one giant AI trying to do everything, maybe the value is in smaller, highly tuned models for specific industries. Medicine, finance, manufacturing. Possibly built using these open weight bases.
Interesting. Democratizing the base layer, then specializing on top.
Could be. And that speaks to the potential benefit they mentioned. Preventing all the power and wealth from concentrating in just a few companies.
Okay. Wow. A lot to unpack there. Final topic, Vienna and housing.
Yeah, shifting gears again, Vienna often comes up as this like model city for public housing.
And the numbers are pretty striking. Over half the rental market is public or semi-public.
Over 50%. It's not a new thing either. It's baked into the city's history, tied to the Socialist Party's long influence there.
And the results, they said, is rents are generally lower than other big European cities.
Significantly lower on average, yeah. And a key point they made wasn't just that there's public housing, but that the city keeps building it on a large scale.
Oh, so it's not just static stock. They keep adding supply.
Right. Which creates genuine competition for private landlords, helping to moderate prices across the board. It's integrated, not isolated projects.
They also mentioned a kind of secret way to get cheaper private places, the homie way.
Uh-huh, yeah. Using personal connections shows that sometimes who you know still matters, even there.
But it's not all perfect, right? They mentioned some recent issues.
Yeah, apparently some policy changes around agency fees, maybe some landlord collusion are starting to push private rents up. So challenges exist.
And getting into the purely public housing, there's a waiting period.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
You typically need to live in Vienna for about 2 years first. So newcomers often start in the private market.
And there's bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Maybe still needing connections for the best spots.
Those were mentioned as potential downsides. It's not utopian.
But the big takeaway seemed to be just build more housing, public or private, just increase supply.
That seemed like a core message. Plus, Vienna has this policy where rent increases are often tied to inflation index adjustment, prevents those sudden massive jumps you see elsewhere.
Right. And they contrasted Vienna with places like Vancouver or Berlin, where privatization happened.
Yeah, showing how different policy paths lead to different outcomes. They also noted Vienna's population hasn't fluctuated wildly over the last century, which maybe makes planning easier than in boom and bust cities.
Interesting point. It led into that idea of abundance. Having enough housing just solves a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. And they briefly compared it to, say, San Francisco's approach with inclusionary zoning, which is a different model again.
So quite a journey. Gold cards, deep sea mining, AI wars, and Viennese apartments.
A real mix. But the learner, hopefully you've grabbed some key insights from this lemonade stand discussion, from high finance immigration ideas to the tech disruption of AI and different social housing models.
You can see the connections, right? Economics, technology, how we structure society, it all ties together.
Makes you think, doesn't it? Like, could this open source idea shake up other industries beyond just AI? Where else could free resources change the game?
And on housing.
Yeah.
Looking at Vienna, the good and the bad, what lessons are there for, you know, your own city, your town?
Exactly. Food for thought.
Absolutely. So this deep dive, as always, is just scratching the surface. We hope it sparks some questions. What else did this make you curious about? That's for you to explore further.